John chapter 6, you may be seated in God's presence. John chapter 6, verse 3. John chapter 6, verse 3, 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately, somebody say immediately, he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And behold, the heavens were open to him. And behold, the heavens were open to him. Somebody say, open up the heavens. Oh, come on, shout it. Say, open up the heavens. One more time, open up the heavens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. John the Baptist was the pastor. He was the leader, the spiritual leader of the hour. You guys can hang out right here. Paul, you can stay right there. Come on, let's appreciate this worship team. Amen. How many people know that this is God's service? Amen. How many people know that? And wherever the Lord leads, we follow right there. Amen. We're not here to play church. We're here to follow him and honor him. Come on, somebody. Amen. When you come into this building, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was the pastor. He was the leader of that generation. And Jesus shows up. And when Jesus showed up, though he was greater than John the Baptist, Jesus went to John the Baptist and honored him by allowing John the Baptist to baptize him. Because you only let the person that you honor, the person that's above you, is the one that can baptize you. And so, though Jesus was greater than John the Baptist, Jesus humbles himself and he goes to honor John the Baptist. If you can put that scripture up again, John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. Hang on right there. When Jesus was baptized, in other words, as soon as Jesus honored John the Baptist, the Bible says, immediately, somebody shout immediately. Immediately the heavens opened over him. I want you to know that the spirit of honor releases an open heaven. I'm going to say that again. The spirit of honor releases an open heaven. And God, when an open heaven happens over a person, here's what happens. And behold, the heavens were open. And then he says, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming to rest upon him. When there's an open heaven, the Spirit of God flows without hindrances. And when the Spirit of God begins to flow in a family, in a person, in an organization, in a church, when the Spirit of God begins to flow, miracles begin to happen. Great things begin to happen. How many people want to see great things happen in your family? Come on. Great things happening in your home. Great things happening in your home. I want you to know something. There are some people in this place, the heavens have shut. The heavens are closed. Calamity and disasters. So many different things happening because the heavens have shut. And somebody's asking in this place, how do I get the heavens to open over me? Go to the next scripture, Joel. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. That's favor. When the heavens open, not only is the Holy Spirit released, the favor of the Father is released. I declare in the name of Jesus that God's going to help you to begin to open heavens over yourself, and that the favor of God is going to pour out, and that the Spirit of God is going to pour out over you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Years ago, my bishop, Bishop Thompson, a man I honor and love so much, I honor my pastor. I love my pastor. Let me say that one more time. I love my bishop. I love my papa. Help me welcome, help me celebrate my papa. in his absence. Bishop Thompson came as a young 26-year-old pastor into the city of Boston, fresh out of Bible school. And he preached at a church in Dorchester. And that church didn't have a pastor at the time. And when he preached, the voice of God told him, "Pastor these people. They need a pastor. They're without a shepherd." And he said yes. And he began to pastor these people. It was a church of elderly people. And as soon as he became the pastor, the board, the deacon board, anybody knows about this deacon board? The deacon board sat him down and said, "Young man, you're going to do what we tell you to do in this place. And if you do that, you're going to survive." And they started abusing this young pastor. They'll talk about him, abuse him, remove things from him, and just make his life difficult. The church was about 30 or 40 people or so. And for a long time, my bishop was praying, "God, I want to see lives being saved. I want to see people getting changed. I want to see miracles. I want to see stuff." And it's as if the heavens were shut. And one day in desperation, my bishop cried out to God, praying in the night, said, "God, why is it that the heavens are closed? Why is it that we're not experiencing miracles and things are not happening? Why is it?" And God spoke to him and said, "Son, the spirit of dishonor, the spirit of disrespect that is in this place has shut up the heavens. And if you're going to see the heavens open, if you're going to begin to see miracles, you need to bring a spirit of honor in this church." So this young pastor, scared and shaking, he went to the deacon board and called the pastors and the church and the leaders. And he said, "Guys, God is speaking to me. If you're in this place and you honor the vision that God's placed in this place, if you, I know I'm young. I know I'm young enough to be your son to some of you. But God's asking me to tell you, can we have a spirit of honor in this place? And for those of you that refuse to walk in the spirit of honor, this is difficult for me. I honor you, but I'm going to ask you to leave." Difficult thing. Somebody said, that's a tough thing to do. And God told him, "You have to do whatever it takes to release a spirit of honor." And they told him, "No, we can't leave. You can't do that. This is our building. We built this building and we founded this place. You can't do that." And he said to the people, he said, "Everybody who's going to honor what God is doing in this place, I'm going to submit to you guys. I'm going to honor you. But you're going to have to honor the vision. You're going to have to honor what God is doing. We're going to have to honor one another." Because they were fighting with one another as well. He said, "God is telling me, you can keep your building. Next Sunday, we're going to be at this hotel. And if you want to honor what God is doing, come there." And the following Sunday came, and all the people who dishonored this young preacher stayed at this place. And there were people who said, "We honor you, and we honor what God is doing. We honor the vision." And they went to this place. They went to this hotel. And in no time at all, this crowd that was just about 30 people started exploding and exploding. People were getting saved. God began to prosper them with property and different things. And today I want to announce to you that this church that my bishop built is the largest church in all of New England today, with over 8,000 people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, it's okay to clap in the house of God. Now, that other church is still in that place with still those 30 and 20 people fighting. Every pastor that has ever come there, they've run him out of town. They've chased him out. Pastors have left that place miserable. And this other church is just down the street with the same guy who was pastoring this church, and now is the largest church in all of New England. The question is, what happened? The spirit of honor released an open heaven over them. Come on, I'm going to shout that again. The spirit of honor released an open heaven over them. I want to speak prophetically over us here today. And don't be scared when you hear the word prophetically. It's nothing spooky, nothing crazy, okay? I don't have any chicken and gas in the back here. Nothing occultic happening in this place. Nothing crazy, right? But I want to declare something prophetic over this house. I believe that God has raised Impact Church to release a spirit of honor over New England. Oh, you got to say a good amen. I believe that God has raised Impact Church to restore the spirit of honor back to Boston. And as that begins to happen, there's going to be an open heaven. Boston was known for revivals. If you go into the communities in our region, you go into every city, every suburb, you're going to see those big antique churches. Do you see those churches? Churches everywhere. You drive, beautiful looking, built with expensive material. Those churches exist because there was such a great revival in New England. They couldn't keep the churches big enough. They had to build churches. They'd build a church on this corner. It would fill up in 2 weeks, and they would have to build another one on another street. They would have to build another one and build another one. Harvard University was established to train preachers. Did you know that? Harvard University was built to train preachers. It was a Bible school. It started off as a Bible school because they could not train enough preachers. People were exploding and exploding. And then the spirit of dishonor, the spirit of disrespect came upon the land. And now those church buildings have just become centers where grandmothers play bingo on a Thursday night. Now, nothing wrong with mothers, grandmothers playing bingo, but how many people know that the house of God, the priority of the house of God is to be a house of prayer? Come on, somebody, hallelujah. And now they're selling, real estate agents are selling those buildings and turning them into apartments. Matter of fact, they won't even sell those churches to people who are trying to turn them into churches. They're only selling them to people who can turn them into high-end apartments. And today, 8 out of 10 people in Boston will not go to church this morning. 8 out of every 10 high school kids who go to college will never go back to church once they go to college. Only 4% of millennials go to church now. Some of the most unchurched cities are up here in New England. Burlington, Vermont is the second most unchurched city in all of America. Then it's Providence, Rhode Island at number 3. Then it's Portland, Maine at number 4. Then it's Hartford, Connecticut. Then it's San Francisco in California. And Boston, somebody shout Boston. Boston is number 7, the 7th most unchurched city in America. You know what we're known for? We're known as the land for the sarcastic people. We're known as the place where they'll cut you with their words. You dare misbehave. Listen, I came from Africa. I've told you this story. I came from Africa and I was driving on the wrong side and people would show me number 1. And I mean, people in Boston would tell you, come on, somebody. They would tell you off. They'll tell you off. And for some of us who've come from other regions, when I flew into Boston, when I came into Boston, you could see that there was a spirit that controls this area. And it's embedded in dishonor. It's embedded in dishonor. But we're going to break that in the name of Jesus. We're going to declare an open heaven over you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus went into his hometown. And it says that they disrespected him. It says it in the book of Mark chapter 6 from verse 1. He was preaching in the synagogue. And they marveled at his preaching. They were amazed at the miracles. They were like, man, this is amazing. And then somebody said, isn't that the carpenter's boy? Isn't that little JJ? You know, because his name was Jesus and his father was Joseph. So Jesus, Joseph, you know, JJ, is that little JJ? Isn't that the kid who made tables for us, honey? Isn't that the kid who fixed our wood floors? And they despised him. And the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 6, I'm going to prove this to you. The Bible says Jesus could not do any miracles. It's not that Jesus just said, hey, I'm tired. I don't really feel like doing the real thing today. No, the Bible says Jesus could not do any miracles. Somebody shout, could not. Because the spirit of dishonor will shut up the heavens. And I hear God doing a new thing in this place. If you're in this place today, and in the last several years, you've gone from church to church, number one, I want to say to you, welcome home. Somebody shout, welcome home. But if you've gone from church to church, and I know no church is perfect, there are people in this place, you've been hurt by churches. You've been hurt by pastors. You've been hurt by leaders. You've been hurt by, and here's what happens. The Bible says, once they despised Jesus, the next thing that happened is they took offense over him. Because the spirit of dishonor will release a spirit of offenses. Once you start dishonoring somebody, it's going to be very, very quickly. You're going to start to have offenses. You're going to start fighting. If you don't honor your wife, if you don't honor your spouse, if you don't honor your husband, the next thing that will happen is you will quickly get into a spirit of offenses. There are people who are hurt. And I want to say to you as a pastor today that it's time to heal in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, it's time to heal in the name of Jesus. It's time to take away those offenses in the name of Jesus. Because what's important is to keep the heavens open. That's the most important thing, is we need to keep the heavens open on behalf of our generation. We need to keep the heavens open on behalf of this next generation. We need to keep the heavens open for Noah. We need to keep the heavens open for David. We need to keep the heavens open for my son, for your daughter. So I want to say this to you. It doesn't matter who has hurt you. It's ending today in this place. And the heavens are opening again in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you're going to clap, do it well. Hallelujah. It ends in this place today. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of offense. In the name of Jesus, set your people free, I pray. When I came to New England, I did a night of worship in a place called Wayland. My wife and I did a night of worship. And at the end of this night of worship, this pastor came to us and he slapped us with a large bill. I mean, he told us we could use this church to do a night of worship. We were not making money. We were not charging people. We just wanted to worship. And this guy slapped us with this large bill. At this time, my wife and I, we only made $1,000 a month. Because my wife used to make this money. She was an office manager, and I made $1,000 a month. This is when I was just beginning my life, y'all. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And this guy slapped us with a bill, $9,000. And I remember going home, and I felt this spirit of hatred. I mean, this was a pastor, and I heard them laughing around. Hey, let's just slap them with this bill. I heard them, and they gave me the check. And I remember looking, how am I going to pay $9,000? I make $1,000 a month. My rent is $850. I survive on $150. How in the world am I supposed to pay this? And it's pastors who are doing this to me. I'm just trying to get people to worship. And I felt the spirit of offense creeping up on me. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness in this place? Come on. I wanted to lay hands on this pastor without praying. Come on. I mean, I felt the African in me coming like, Jesus, God Jehovah, let me just do this thing one time. In the name of Jesus. I said, can somebody be honest in this place with me? I mean, I felt the holy something. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. I felt something. People of God, I went to bed that night, and this has never happened to me before. I went to bed, and I was having dreams of hitting this guy. Dreaming about this. And I'm waking up in the morning repenting, you know, half repenting, like, man, I look good. I felt good. I mean, I wish I could do that. But I felt this animosity creeping up inside of me. And then the day started. Month after month, we started paying this thing off. I remember days when I couldn't take my wife to a restaurant to eat because I had to pay this pastor. And it hurt every time. God gave us grace. But we honored these leaders. We honored these pastors. And I felt the spirit of offenses coming up on me. And God said this to me. I'll never forget, Anthony. God said, Zenzo, New England is filled with pastors and ministers who are filled with poison and hatred because they're angry. And God said to me, Are you going to be a part of those, or are you going to be the one who's going to come without poison inside of them? He said, are you going to refuse to be a part of the culture of offenses, or are you going to take it upon yourself? And with pain, I said, God, I'm going to be the different one. God, whatever it takes. God, I'm gonna forgive. I will forgive. Because when it's said and done, that poison that's inside of you is what you're going to have your family drink. I said, God, I will forgive. And I chose to forgive that pastor that day. So are you ready for this? Come on, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Hey, Jesus, Jehovah, I feel the anointing of God. As soon as I chose to forgive that man, I got a contract in my email to be on staff at this church. And God, they blessed us with everything. They blessed us with finances. They blessed all this stuff. I mean, it was one of those large churches with everything. They blessed us. Man, I was able to pay off that thing. As soon as they gave us all the finances and the blessing that they were giving us, we paid off all this and we were debt free with a clean spirit. And then the heavens opened. And then the heavens opened. Did I say the heavens opened? I said, and then the heavens opened. The heavens opened. We started seeing finances. Most of you know our story in this place. We have got, my wife and I, we gathered over 60,000 people in 7 years across New England worshiping Jesus. We paid for these nights of worship, $125,000 just to pay for these nights of worship. God began to bless. God began to increase. I was getting phone calls from everywhere. The heavens open. I know what I'm talking about. When the heavens open over you, there's no man that can shut the doors that God begins to open over you. Come on. When God begins to open the doors, there's no devil in hell that can shut the... I declare an open heaven over you right now in the name of Jesus. This church is a part of that open heaven. Can you see what's happening in this room? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see what God is doing in this place? I see through the eyes of the Spirit, says the Lord. There's going to be thousands upon thousands of people that are going to be saved under this ministry. There's going to be churches upon churches. There's going to be a sound of worship that's going to go to the end of the world. God's going to bless this house. Come on, somebody. God's going to do something that he's never done before, not because of us and not for our sake, but because New England needs to be saved again. Somebody shout hallelujah. But I had to refuse to take the offense. I had to release the spirit of honor. And the heavens opened. Recently, I was playing with my kids at a park. And there was this little kid over there just making noise. And this kid literally said to his mother, I hate you. And my kids were looking at me like, oh my God. And I'm looking at them like, yeah, you dare do that. And you, thunder will come down. Something will happen. This kid looks at his mother and says, I hate you. It's becoming more and more acceptable. Teach your kids to honor elders so the heavens can open over them. This kid is just screaming. And then the mother's just like, I can't get him to shut up. I can't get him. She's practically crying. And the mother went to the other side, and I saw this kid coming closer to where I was, and I was sitting there. I couldn't help him. I was like, you listen to your mother. I mean, he was running out. His mother was over there, right? He's coming over me. I was like, you listen to your mother. Do you hear me? I'm a bushman from Africa. And then one day, I met the same kid, same mother. They were playing soccer with my son. And after the game, actually in the middle of the game, the mother said, hey, Mr. Matoga, it's really a busy day for us today. Would you mind picking up our son and bringing him home for us after the game is over? And I was like, you want me to do the honor of picking up your son and bring him home? Which son is it? And she mentioned the kid. I'm like, oh, Jesus, Jehovah, this is good. This is going to be good today. And after the end of the game, all the kids are coming to the car, and the kid just comes to the car. She says, come on, drive, let's go. And I'm like, oh, my God. But I'm praying. I'm a pastor, right? I'm praying, God, give me patience, give me grace. And then we're driving, and then I hear the kid saying the most sexist thing he could say to my daughter, who's only 5. And I'm like, how in the world does a 5-year-old boy know how to say that stuff? And I look at my wife. I said, hey, you're going to handle this one, because, man, I'll let you handle this one. And my wife said, hey, you know, buddy, don't speak that way. It's not really respectful. And this 5-year-old boy says the most sexist thing to my wife. You could tell he has no respect for women. Oh, my God, I felt the Holy Ghost on my inside. I look back and I say, dude, you know, we respect people in this house, and you need to respect my wife and my kids. And this, the nerve of this kid, he looked at me, he put his hand like this, and he went like this. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the fuego. Come on, somebody. Fuego de Espíritu Santo. Come on, fuego de chao coming out from my inside. I said, God help me today. Seriously, God help me with this child today. So, man, I trampled on the brake, and I shook the car a little bit, like, and stopped the car, and I got his attention now. He's like this. I said, listen, we don't disrespect people in this house. You're going to say sorry to my wife? You're going to say sorry to my kids? Or you're going to walk home? Now, I'm saying, God help me. I hope he says sorry, because I can't really make him walk home. You know, this is not gonna look good if I don't go with my plan. You know, he's shaking. And he says, sorry, Mr. Matoga, sorry. And then after that, we showed him a lot of love. We got him all the lollipops in the world. Grace, a lot of grace. And then later on, his mother was talking to my wife. We found the root of the problem. This woman began to tell us how she's abused by the husband and the words the husband says to her in front of this child. No wonder this child has no respect for women and for elders. Please don't be at home gossiping about your boss and your leaders in front of your kids. You're indoctrinating your kids. When I married my wife, I told my wife, listen, I love you. One thing we're not going to do in this house is I don't want to marry somebody who gossips. Can you do just that one thing? Just that one thing. I said, just one thing. And even when the kids were babies, even when the kids were in the mother's bellies, we made sure the atmosphere was always clean, filled with the spirit of honor. Filled with the spirit of honor. Somebody say hallelujah. Filled with the spirit of honor. Stand up. I'm done. Please stand. I'm done. I am so time conscious. I like to release people in time. So when I look at the time, when I look at the clock, I'm like, oh, please stand up. We're done. So please forgive me. Please stand. Let's read this last scripture here together. First Samuel 26, verse 25. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed. David, my son, you will do great things and surely triumph. So David went and Saul. Here's where I want to end today. You've got to remember that Saul treated David so badly. He used to throw javelins at David, spears at David, abusing this boy, chasing him everywhere, chasing him around everywhere, trying to kill him. The Bible says there were times when David would literally find King Saul. There was a time when King Saul was sleeping with all his soldiers. And one of David's soldiers said, hey, we got them today. We got him. Come on, let's. And one of the soldiers was saying, come on, just let me smite him. It'll only take me to do it once and I'll kill him. Let me take care of this. And David said, don't touch the anointed. Don't touch the anointed. There's another part. This part is so interesting. I don't even know why the Bible put this, wrote this. It's really interesting. It literally says so many details, right? It literally says King Saul was hiding in a cave somewhere going to the bathroom. And David is right there, finds him. And he could have killed that guy. What an embarrassing situation. And David refused because he wanted to honor the anointed. And after he was chasing him and trying to kill him, there was one moment where David cut a little piece of the coat that King Saul was wearing when he was sleeping and just took it as proof. It was proof of honor. It was proof of honor. And he showed it to him. Sir, I honor you. Though you've tried to kill me, though you've abused me, I still honor you. And after that happened, that scripture happened, then Saul said to David, you're my son. This mean guy finally said, you're my son. And today, I bless you. Today, let the heavens open over you in the name of Jesus. You know, we had a Sunday yesterday. Last Sunday, we were shouting and screaming, having a great time, and we're gonna have a lot of that. But today, God told me that there's some people in this place that need to honor their parents. There are people in this place. There are people in this place. This week, you're gonna call that pastor and just say, "I honor you. I honor you." We left your church because God was leading us into a new season. But I honor you. We're going to release honor. And the heavens are going to open over you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of us are going to honor our spouses. You're going to honor your wife. You're going to honor your husband. And say, I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I've shut up the heavens because of the way I've treated you. Some of you are going to call your school teachers and family members, grandparents. I just went to a funeral this week, and I want to beg you, please, let's not wait until somebody's rolled up in a casket to honor them and say good stuff about them because they're not hearing you. Do it now when they're alive. Come on, do it now when they're alive. I know your father didn't, maybe he wasn't there. Maybe he didn't do a good job. Come on, maybe your mother didn't do the best job. She was just dealing with the stuff that she was given as well. You can honor. Come on. You can honor. Release honor. Because you need to open up the heavens. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of offenses in this place in the name of Jesus. Open up the heavens, we pray. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everybody say, I release. Come on, shout it. I release everybody who's hurt me. Come on, you can say that real well. Everybody who's hurt me. I release everybody who's offended me. I release my parents. I release my teachers. I honor my spouse, for those of you that are married. I release everybody who's hurt me. And today, I'm coming out of this place healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate. Let the heavens open. Let the heavens open. Oh, Holy Spirit.